Glory to God. I am glad you're at church. I said, I'm glad you're at church. It's the best place you could have been tonight. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. We get to get into the Word of God together with our church family. It's a good place to be. Those folks that are online, they're hooking up with us. It's a great place for them to be too. Right? We're going to believe God for one another. We're going to believe God for them. Are you grateful for our music team? Amen. Amen. They do such a good job. Praise the Lord. I noticed one of them was checking me out. It was my wife, but she was just checking me out to make sure my clothes were on right and stuff. And so I also want to say something about our video department, because I was telling them what I was teaching on, and they do a really great job. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, yeah. They told me they were fishing for a compliment. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Sorry. No, I told them what I was talking about tonight, and it seemed good to have that image. We're talking about breaking out tonight. And what I mean by breaking out is breaking out of old ideas and old thought habits that we have, the thinking that we do that isn't in line with what God thinks about us. We're going to look at a scripture in Isaiah tonight, Isaiah 55, if you have your Bible. If not, it'll be up on your screen. But I want to talk to you about breaking out of your current mindset. Ideas that we hold on to, and finding out the things that God intends for us. Because how many of you know, even if you experienced God's goodness in a great measure already, there can always be more. That was weak. I said there can always be more. With God, when you think you've exhausted all of His goodness, you ever had one of those weeks where it seems like you just experience God's best, I mean, moment after moment, day after day. You get to the end of the week and you're just like, God, you are so good. And then He does something to just show you He's even better still. Right? Don't you wish every week was like that? But sometimes, because of mindsets that we have, because of our thinking, we're not experiencing the things that God has for us at the level that God would have us to experience things. I heard somebody say one time this about our minds. Some people have a concrete mind. It's thoroughly mixed up and already set. If we desire to live beyond our current circumstances, we've got to break out of our current patterns of living, and that also means breaking out of our current patterns of thinking. So Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 6, I'm reading from the New Living Translation tonight. It says this, it says, "Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for He will forgive generously." Verse 8 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Amen. Your thoughts can act in your life as a prison or a pardon. The words that the thoughts that we think and the words that we speak. You know, last week I talked to you about the power of our words. And it seemed good going along the same line to help us to understand that the thoughts that we're thinking. You know, sometimes people say, well, I just don't know what's on that guy's mind. Or you just don't ever know what they're thinking about. Really, it's a lot more discernible than what we might think. You listen to somebody talk for just a little while, and you'll know what they're thinking on in great amounts of time. Because when you think on something long enough, when you develop a pattern of thinking, eventually it comes out in what you say. There's such a connection between our thoughts and our words. It's similar to the writing of a book. You know, when you read a book by an author, the author of that book has written down words, but those words are written down from their thoughts. Isn't that right? They think about what they're going to say. You take some of the, lots of the books that we have in Faith Library are written down from sermons, but they come from the thoughts that went into the sermons and the preparation that are then transcribed into words that we read on a page. But thoughts and words are connected. And God said this, he said, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. See, when we want the thoughts of the author, he put them in the book. Isn't that right? Heard one man say this. He said that God's words were spoken so that they could be written, so that they could be spoken. The word of God is God's thoughts for us. It's what he's thinking about you. Isn't that what the scripture tells us in Jeremiah, that God is thinking about you? He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. If he's no respecter of persons, he may have been speaking to Jeremiah. He may have been speaking to the children of Israel. But how many of you know if he has thoughts about them, he's got thoughts about you and I as well? So God has specific things that he's thinking about us. And if we can think in line with what God thinks about us, it changes our lives. Have you seen that any time in your life where you begin to meditate on God's word and you see that God says something about you? And when it becomes real to you, it begins to change your life. It begins to change the way that you talk. It begins to change the way that you see yourself. Isn't that right? Amen. When we read God's word, we find out how God thinks. But if we don't change our mindset, we'll hold on to the old patterns that always held us back. We'll remain the same. But we want to break out of our old mindset because we want to look at things the way that God sees them. The first time that I shared here at Rhema Bible Church, which is always such a privilege, this is the best church in the world. When Pastor Hagen says that, and Pastor Tad said that this morning, speaking here to people that are, you know, got your back, they're your amen corner, that means a lot. Amen? Amen. I got you. I got you. It's on the recording now, so I know you meant it. But I remember, and I shared this story before, but I remember one time I was flying out of the town that I'm from, Paducah, Kentucky, Quilt City, USA, for those of you who are curious. I was flying out of Paducah, and I had occasion to see my home from the air. You know, I thought, I'm gonna look for my house and see it from the airplane. It was the biggest house. Up until that point, it was the biggest house that I had ever had. You know, I mean, all 1,750 square feet of it was mine. And I mean, it had a terrible roof on it. It needed lots of work. We did lots of work to it. But I was really pleased with how that house turned out. And I wanted to see it from the air. And you know how things, you know, when you're up in the air, it takes you a little while to kind of get your bearing. But it was my hometown. It was my home area. So I knew what it looked like. And so I'm looking down, and finally I found a body of water that I recognized. There's a pond out by where we lived, and I recognized the pond. And so pretty soon I'm like, well, if that's the pond, then this has got to be my road. And if that's my road, well, there's my neighbor's house right there. They got a pool. And I finally saw my place, my 1,750 square feet, and it looked like this. This big house that I thought was so massive. You know, when I'm standing in front of it and I'm the king of my castle and it's big. But up in the air, it didn't look so big anymore. And this is going to seem a little weird to you, but while I'm flying in the plane and I'm looking at my house, just had the Lord speak to my heart, and he said to put my hand in front of my face. And so I did. And he said, "What do you see?" Well, that was an easy one. My hand. He said, "Move it away slowly from your face." And I did. And in perspective, he said, "What do you see?" And I could see the inside of the plane. And he said, "Son, that's what I hear in my heart when he speaks to me." He said, "Son, that's how it is when I look at your problems in perspective. It's just a speck. From God's point of view, things look a whole lot different." And so when he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways," it wasn't because he didn't want you to have his thoughts, and it wasn't because he didn't want you to have his ways. He was telling you so that when, because how many of you know we have an adversary? God knows the power of thoughts, and so does our enemy. God gave us his thoughts in the book, and he wants us to read the book so that we know what his thoughts are about us. Because if we can get his thoughts, if we can understand his ways, when the enemy tries to give us different thoughts or different ways, we'll reject them when they come. Praise God. I might be preaching to me right now. Consider this. Your life up until today isn't an accident. You're a result of programming. Your life is a result of programming. The things that you've experienced, the things that you've seen, it can be verbal programming, what people have spoken to you. It can be visual programming, the things that we've seen in our lives, that we've seen through our eye gate. It can be experiential programming, things that you've gone through. But usually, instead of making decisions, we're on autopilot based on the programming that we have. Based on the thoughts that have come into our minds. Our mind stores information and produces thoughts and imaginations that govern our will and our emotions. Your mind has a couple of basic functions. It records new information, and then it plays back the things that have been recorded. Proverbs 23:7 says this. It says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." The Good News Bible says it this way: what he thinks is what he really is. What we program into our minds will determine the kind of person that we become. The things that we allow to come into our thought life and that we feed on continually end up being the person that we become, and they become the things that we talk about. And we told you last week, if we can, the scripture says we can control our tongue, we can control our whole body. Well, if God knows that if we can think the thoughts that he thinks, if our thoughts can be his thoughts and our ways could be his ways, and he gave us the word to be able to do it, but the devil also knows that our thoughts and our words will affect our lives. You know, the devil couldn't do anything about your relationship with God. You being born again, the devil didn't have anything to do with that. That was between you and God, right? Oh, now there was one time. There was a time in your life before you accepted Jesus that you weren't born again, right? But if the devil could have stopped you, don't you think he'd have kept you from coming down whatever aisle it was or praying that prayer with whoever it was that you prayed it? That relationship's been solidified. You made a decision when your heart was pricked by the gospel, the good news, that you were going to follow him. And you said, "I'm all in, Lord." And you come, maybe you came running down an aisle and you said, "Jesus, I need you in my life." Maybe he met you in a dark alley somewhere and you said, "I've made a mess of things, but I need you." If the devil could have stopped that, he would have. And so now that you've been born again and he couldn't do anything about that, the only thing that he can do is try to get you talking wrong or thinking wrong. Because if he can get you talking wrong, if he can get you thinking wrong, then he can still control your life and the things that you're experiencing while you're here on this earth. But that's not me and that's not you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's not me. We're a product of the thoughts that we continually think, the imaginations that we entertain, and the memories that we cling to. So here's something for you. Then, contrary to popular opinion, you were not born any particular way. Unless you mean into sin and then join the club. But outside of that, the things that we experienced and the things that we've allowed ourselves to dwell on over time, and they're not always the same. How many of you know the enemy will find the path of least resistance in your life? And if you could say anything positive about the devil, which you know I'm not really looking to do, but he is persistent. He'll come at you the same way. An enemy who's smart, militarily, somebody who's smart is going to find the path of least resistance into your life. Isn't that right? So he's always going to work on those areas where you've struggled before. And maybe if you had a poor self-image for the rest of your life, anytime he catches you in a weak moment, the thoughts that he's going to bring towards you are going to hammer away at the self-image that you had. If he's had you in a particular area, he's always going to try to get you in that area because he thinks this is the path of least resistance. This is the way to get into their life. And if I can get them thinking down this line, pretty soon the words that they're speaking will be lined up with the thoughts that they're thinking. But again, that's not you. You're going to think different. Amen. So our thoughts can come from things that we've experienced. They can come from things that we've heard, things that we've seen. The enemy can bring thoughts to us, and he does. Oftentimes, he brings thoughts to us to try to get us off track. I remember years ago, the devil almost had me convinced that he would kill me by the time I was 30 years old. And I know what you're looking at me right now, and you're thinking, well, that's only a few days away. Thank you for thinking that. That was me thinking that. You didn't have to laugh so hard about that. He had me convinced because I had some symptoms that were going. This is prior to me attending Rhema as a student. I had some symptoms going on in my body and didn't know what they were. And I'll say this too. One of the things that the enemy does is he'll try to keep you in the dark. He had me afraid to go to the doctor. Thinking back on that, that was really dumb. Because, I mean, it's not like doctors are against us, right? Had the Lord ask me this question, just to myself, and maybe this will help you. One time the Lord asked me, he said, what's the best way to receive healing? And so, man, you know, I was going down thinking of all the ways you could receive it. Handkerchiefs and aprons. Some hands lay them on them, you know, somebody laying hands on you. Speaking the word and receiving it by faith. Miracles, miracles, that's the best way. What's the best way? And the Lord said, the best way is however I can get my people to receive it. Isn't that right? Man, I'd take it at the hand of a doctor if it meant you'd be on this earth to preach the gospel one more day. Right? Doctors are not our enemies. They're just trying to help people as best they can. But the devil will try to keep you, because then he can get you in fear, thinking that you're going to go there and they're going to say it's terminal. Well, is terminal too hard for God? What is there that's too hard for him? Nothing. But the devil will plant ideas or thoughts in our minds to try to get us to think a certain way, because then we talk a certain way and then we act a certain way. The devil works hard to get us thinking in ways that will get us to fail, that will cause us to be less than what God thinks about us, what God says about us. In Matthew 15, 18, I didn't give them this scripture, but Jesus said this. He said, those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come forth from the heart and they defile a man. That word heart there isn't spirit, it's cardia. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but it means thoughts or feelings, or it means the mind. And so Jesus said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the mind or the thoughts or the feelings, and they defile a man. Matthew 15:19 says, out of the heart, same word, proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, false witnessing, blasphemy. You know the story of Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8:20. It says in verse 21, it says, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And this is when Simon was trying to buy the ability to lay hands on people. Then it says, verse 22, pray and repent, therefore, of your wickedness. Pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart be forgiven thee. The scripture says in John 13:2, the devil now putting it into the heart, and that's the same word here, the mind or the thoughts, to betray him. The devil will give us thoughts to try to get us off course so that we start thinking in a particular way so that he can help us to develop some pattern that will keep us living at a level substandard to what it is that God has for us. And he'll put us in a box. He'll put us in some cell based on the thoughts that we're thinking and the words that we're saying that we feel like we're trapped in. But God wants us to break out of the box that our thoughts or our lower way of thinking has caused us to live in. He wants us to think higher thoughts. He wants us to live our lives in the way that he has. Because without him, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. You know, that's the reason why social media is so dangerous. People who are on TikTok, they get, you know, some people get like caught up in, it doesn't even have to be something bad that they're watching. You could like start watching videos about baking cakes. And all of a sudden, the whole world looks like bakers. Every video that comes up in your feed is all about baking, 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 baking. Pretty soon, you think everybody bakes. I got news for you. Not everybody bakes. Right? Or you'll get, I can remember, there was a point, now I'm not on TikTok anymore. I found out how difficult it was to try to get some of that stuff out of your head. But there was somebody, I got this video of someone who was deconstructing, which bothered me a great deal because I feel like if you didn't build something, you ought not be trying to tear it down. Okay, don't like that? I'll say it over here. If you didn't build something, you ought not try to tear it down. Isn't that right? But I looked at the video and I looked at it a little while because I didn't agree with it. And I watched it a couple of times. Pretty soon, it looked like the whole world was deconstructing. Because every video that I got, well, what's the problem with that? It's building thought patterns. And pretty soon, there was a time in my life where I used to listen to talk radio a lot. And I found that all of my conversations, most talk radio is politics. It's either sports or politics. And if you listen to that all of the time, guess what your conversations are going to center around? And those things don't necessarily have to be bad, but they prove the point that if you think a certain way long enough, it permeates every area of your life. You begin to talk differently. Those thoughts, they begin to take over parts of your life that really we should be spending more time seeking higher thoughts and higher ways. Isn't that right? What time is it? Did I mention to you time elapses quick here? It does. Yeah. The most powerful moments in our life are when we choose the information that we keep in our mind, good or bad. But it's the most powerful moments that you'll have in your life. The future we experience will be decided by thoughts and imaginations and ideas or memories that we continue to dwell on. I can remember when I was in high school, my sophomore year, I took a study hall because I'm so studious. No, I actually took a study hall because it was like 30 minutes of possible sleep. But I was in study hall with a guy who was a friend of mine, and I spent an entire semester listening to him talk about the perfect crime. That he felt like he could pull off the perfect crime. And he had it all planned out. And he would talk about it, and then we would argue with him about it. Oh, no, man, you'd get caught. If you did that, this would happen. And he would think about it. And the next time that we'd come to study hall, he'd say, I thought about it some more. And he'd tell us how he'd get away with the perfect crime, how he could rob a place and get away with it. We were just sophomores in high school. And he did that all semester. You know, by the time we graduated, we got up years later, that dude, he never did figure out the way to commit the perfect crime, but he spent time in the penitentiary because he tried. That's a true story. He tried to rob a place. I guess he thought by that point that he was going to be able to do it and get away with it, and he was wrong. But his thought patterns were a certain way. Pretty soon he got locked in. And his mindset became, oh man, I can figure out how to, this will be quick money, this will be easy money, I can get away with it. The enemy does that with all kinds of areas in our lives. He'll drop thoughts into our lives, get us thinking along a certain way, and then he'll try to isolate you so you think on those things, you think you're the only one going through it, you're by yourself. Nobody else is thinking the thoughts that you have. Nobody else has experienced what you've experienced. You're all alone. One person treats you a certain way. The devil tells you everybody's going to treat you that way because they did that to you. Everyone's got it in for you. Always got it out for you. Pretty soon, he's got you thinking along that line. He's planted those thoughts in your mind. Pretty soon, it's what you're talking about. And eventually, he's torn you away from relationships that could build you up. We've all been there. We can't allow ourselves to dwell on certain things. We have to change our thinking in order to break out of old mindsets. Even if your mind's already been programmed wrong, there's still hope. It's like rebooting the system. Sometimes people want to dump their thoughts or their trash into your mind, but we have to make sure that we're cleaning it up and not allowing them to. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin said this. He said, we can't keep birds from flying over our heads, but we can keep them from making nests in our hair. If we don't change our thinking in a given area, we have found our ceiling in that area. If we don't change our mindset, we've locked ourselves in and we've gone as far in that area as we'll ever go. And once we've locked in like that, you're never on the incline. Things are always declining from that point. Because you're convinced that you're locked into the pattern and everything has to be the way that it's always been. Even science knows this. Back in the 1800s, 1873, there was a German zoologist by the name of Carl Mobius. And the theory that he founded is known as pike syndrome. Basically what he did is he took a pike, which is an extremely aggressive fish, and he put it in an aquarium, and they will attack other fish, and minnows especially, they feed on them, and they'll just have a feeding frenzy. Well, he put a pike in this aquarium, and he put a divider made of glass, and then he put minnows on the other side of it. And he watched to see what the pike would do. And the pike would ram itself into the glass. At one point, the study says, at one point it was hitting itself so hard that it flipped itself over and was floating with its belly up. Looked like it was dead. Just stunned itself. Knocked itself out and then came to and then would try to get to the minnows again. But one day it stopped hitting the glass. And so he removed the glass. And pretty soon, the minnows were swimming around it. And he didn't even try to attack them. And eventually, it died in the same tank with the food that it would normally eat because it had become convinced that it couldn't eat minnows. And that's now known as the pike syndrome. You and I will go through things in our lives, And we'll feel like we just keep hitting the same wall and we just can't get any further. But God said, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But he wants us thinking the thoughts that he thinks. And remember, we said, where did he put those thoughts that he thinks about us? In his word. He wants you and I getting in his word so we begin to see ourselves moving beyond the glass. Moving beyond the walls of limitation that the enemy has placed in our lives. Moving beyond the limitation of what your parents might have spoken to you when you were little. How they told you you'd never make it. How they told you you could never do it. That you'd never amount to anything. That you could never be better. How that person that maybe you were in a relationship with convinced you that you weren't worth having in their life. You weren't worth having in anybody's life. How an employer might have spoke negative things to you. How somebody that you know might have said things that might have hurt you. And the devil has used those things for years to keep you meditating along a line and holding you behind a glass with your head just butting against it, thinking you've gone as far as you can go. But God says you can go further. God says you can go further than you've ever been because his thoughts are much higher and his ways are much better. And he said, if you'll think the thoughts that I think, if you'll begin to meditate, what did he say to Joshua? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate in it therein day and night. For then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. When we begin to meditate on the word of God, when we begin to think about what God thinks about us, when we begin to believe what God says about us, we begin to talk like God talks because we think like God thinks. And when we do that, it changes our lives. And no limitation from the enemy or any person can hold us back from what God says that we can do. We have to make a decision that we're going to stay with his word until it becomes more real to us than the very experiences that you and I have had, than the things that we have seen, than the hurts that we have felt, than the lies that the enemy has told us. We have to stay with his word until we become more convinced of it than anything else we see in our lives. And when we do, we begin to change the way that we talk about ourselves. People will see us different. We will see ourselves different. And the way that we see ourselves is like God sees us. I want to encourage you tonight. You may have come in here with more mental baggage than you thought that you could handle, but God says different about you. God says you're better than the circumstance that you're currently in. God says he's got more for you than the things that you've experienced thus far. There is greater and better for each and every one of us that God has in store. Well, we've got to begin to think the way he thinks. And the way to do that is to meditate on his word. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray with you tonight. Those of you that are watching, those that are in this building, I'm going to pray over you right now. Whatever it is that's been holding you back, I want you to bring that to God right now. You're just going to bring it to him and say, Father, instead of what I've been believing about myself or my situation, I'm going to stay with your word. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus tonight. And I don't know what every person here is dealing with in their mind, but I do know that we have the same enemy, the adversary, the devil, and he's been lying to a lot of folks. And I pray for every person within the sound of my voice, whether they're in this room or they're watching online. Lord, I pray for revelation knowledge for each and every one of them, Lord, that you would speak a word in due season to them, Lord. Give them a rhema word for their life, something from your word that they can stand on, that they can meditate on until it changes their circumstance. And Lord, I pray that they would purpose in their own heart that they won't turn loose of that word until things are different in their life, Lord. They won't say something that the enemy says about them. They won't say what's been spoken over them, Father God. They'll meditate on your word till it becomes more real to them. And Lord, I pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know the hope of your calling and the richness of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. Exceeding greatness of your power to those who believe. Help them to walk into this new season, new days and new ways, more in 2024, that they'll experience a greater measure of your goodness than ever before. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here tonight and you need individual prayer, our altar care team's going to come down. These are men and women who have been trained and are trusted to believe God with you. If you're here tonight and you need someone to pray for you individually, I want to encourage you. When everyone else goes out, you come down. Women to the women, men to the men. But you come down and let somebody pray the prayer of agreement with you. Whatever it is that you've been believing God for. And I believe you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Thank you for being so attentive. Is there anything else, Pastor Ted? Well, glory to God. Be with us Wednesday night, Hour of Power. We love you. You're going to have a good week. Amen? God bless you. We'll see you soon.